Good morning. Well, absolutely beautiful weather out there. It's gorgeous. I know some of you wish it would snow. Sorry about that, but it's good to be here on sacred and holy ground. You may feel like you're sitting in a wooden pew with padding and red carpeting and these beautiful walls and rafters and lights and stained glass windows, and all that's very true. But it's sacred and holy, anointed by God. The presence of his angels are here. God himself is here. God. Imagine that. God, the creator of the whole universe, is here. For where two or more are gathered together in his name, there is he in the midst of them. Welcome, Jesus. Wow. So, in order to be pleasing to God, let's check all of our baggage at the door, as I'm so fond of saying. All that concern and worry about what's going on this afternoon and tomorrow and next week, forget all that. Don't worry about it for this moment. There's nothing you can do about it anyways. Just leave it there. And be in this place, hungrily, eagerly seeking the word of God, to be in his presence, to praise him, to lift high the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we are here to give you our lives as living sacrifices, to offer up the sacrifice of praise, to lift high the name of Jesus, to scrape off the crud of the world, to ask forgiveness for our sins. And we gather together here in this place to be a witness to the rest of the world of what it means to be a Christian. We gather together in this place, Lord, because the Bible tells us to forsake not the gathering together. So have your way with us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us all with love for one another, and especially with love for you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Good morning. As you're making your way back to your seats, I'd like us to think about our memory verse for February and go through it twice. You know the drill, okay? Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. In our moments of informality, Diane has a few announcements.
First of all, for those of you who signed up to take costumes for the Living Last Supper, to iron them. They are down in the choir room in a bag with your name on it, and they need to be back next Sunday. So please go down and pick those up. Secondly, I've got four sheets on the clipboard to pass today. The first one is the first two are for the talent show. One is for assistance at the reception after the talent show, and also to supply cookies. And the second one for talent show is, if you still have a talent and you haven't put your name down, no matter what it is, please put your name down on that so we know. The third sheet is for an opportunity for service for the men of the congregation. I need two or three men to assist in erecting the tomb after this service next Sunday. So if you can help with that, sign that. And the final sheet is an extended sheet for people to sign up to help with the coffee hours monthly. And this takes us all the way through November. So if you would sign up for your favorite sheet, and don't worry about having to remember it or putting it in your phone right now, you'll be called when it's your turn to remind you. But please sign up for that. Penny would really appreciate the help.
And further announcements, let's not forget the soup sale on March the 5th. It's always a great event. And also, if You ordered a hoagie. They can be picked up today. Please read that in your bulletin as well. Is there anything else that anyone would like to say in our moments of informality? Pastor Bruce.
A reminder about Wednesday's 1 o'clock Bible study.
Oh,
everybody's
yes.
invited to that, 1 o'clock Bible study. And also then at 6 o'clock Wednesday night is our healing service. And the healing service is just drop whatever you're doing. Don't have to change your clothes or anything. But come on in, and we'll have some devotions and reading of scriptures, prayers, anointing with oil, laying on of hands, and communion. And just come expecting God to do a mighty work in your life.
Thank you, Pastor. The Bible study on Wednesday, we have a wonderful group there, and I invite you all to come. There being no further announcements, let's turn our hearts to God. Would you please stand for the call to worship? We're reading from Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40, found on page 842 of your hymnal. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end.
Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart.
Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it.
Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to gain.
Turn my eyes from looking at vanities, and give me a life in your ways.
Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you.
Turn away the reproach which I dread, for your ordinances are good.
Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life.
Our unison prayer is number 881, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our hymn is 191, Jesus Loves Me.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Okay. Give me five. No? Five. Five. Yes. Yes. All right. Ooh, yes. Hey, who loves us? Jesus loves us bunches and bunches. And how do we know that? By our hearts. Yep, we know that. Who? Does Jesus love all them? Huh, really? Does Jesus love all them, including Kelly? Does Jesus love Diane? Does Jesus love your friends, your neighbors? How do we know that? The Bible. The Bible tells us so. Yep. We know that because of the Bible. Where would we be without the Bible? Huh. Hey, listen, we're going to take a little walk. I got a map. Okay. So I want everybody to stand up. Okay. Let's see. Here's my directions. All right. First thing I want you to do is to rotate 360 degrees three times. And then face the foyer. And then I want you to extricate yourself from my presence and process to the extreme right. Maybe we need a helper. We need a helper. We need a helper. I need a volunteer. Okay, Barb. Okay, yeah, if you'd read those out loud and help them understand what it means. Start right here.
All right, stand, rotate 360 degrees three times.
That's it, turn in a circle three times.
Face the foyer.
Okay, in the foyer, there we go. The foyer is that room on the other side of the glass. That's the room outside the sanctuary. Okay, so you're facing the foyer. What do they do next?
Extricate yourself from pastor's presence. So, and process.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. All right. So your right is this way. So
extricate means remove yourself.
So let's go. Come on with me.
Okay. You're going to have to adapt those instructions a little
right.
bit. Yep.
And when we cannot go any farther, we're going to pivot to our left and travel to the further most pew. Turn 180 degrees. So we can't go any farther here. So pivot to our left and travel to the furthermost pew. Turn 180 degrees.
Yeah, left was that way.
Hang on, right. Okay. Okay, let's head down this way.
So,
well, we were supposed to turn left.
The point is here that the instructions were convoluted, written in highfalutin, edumacated terms.
Yeah. Now we're going to motivate ourselves to achieve your original destination next to the ambassador for Christ this journey began with. So, who is the ambassador for Christ from when our journey began? Yeah, I think so too. Let's head back to Pastor.
Yeah, they're coming back. That's right. So they needed help to discern and to understand what the instructions were.
Wave your phalanges or digits in the atmosphere. That's good. Yeah, it was a little convoluted. But we did it, didn't we?
Thank you. Okay. Fancy terms, just to take a little walk and come back, and you needed some help to do that. So we got somebody to help you understand this. It's the same thing with this. What is this? It's a Bible. I don't expect you to understand what's all in this book right now at your age. But I do expect you to learn what's in here, to get help from your family here, all these people that are the body of Christ, including me. I expect you to get help from Sunday school teachers and Bible study leaders to understand, to learn what's in the Bible. Because these are the most important directions you will ever have in your life. And we have to learn the Bible and understand it. And then we have to share it with other people. Okay? So learn the Bible. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you grant us understanding of the Bible and help us to share the Bible with our friends and our families. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. All right.
our New Testament reading, hear these words regarding the failure of the Israelites to have a relationship with God as we observe the Sabbath. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that not one will perish by following the example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even into dividing soul and spirit, into joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Will the ushers please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give back to you just a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. And we pray, God, that you would bless and multiply and use this offering as you see fit through the ministries of this church for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible, the Word of God, to our hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated.
Joys. Anybody have a joy that they just can't contain, something they want to praise God for? Warm weather. Vacation. All right, great. Cancer free. Praise the Lord. Oh, I saw some pictures on Facebook. Yes. Yesterday was the father-daughter dance. Cool. Other joys. Family. Our health such that it is, Randy? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. This is not the end of the story. Yep, that's right. Indoor plumbing. Thank you for the reminder of my favorite blessing. Indoor plumbing. Doctors. Presidents. Family. We have a lot to be thankful for, and I like to hear that. That's good. So these joys, just the little ones, it can mean so much. So for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Now, pens and pencils. Write on your bulletins or envelopes or scrap paper, note paper. Take mental notes. Our concerns. Bruce has walking pneumonia. Colton.
Just can't holler. Oh, there we go.
Oh, thanks.
I would like to thank all of you for your prayers and concern for my hairdresser friend whose mother was very ill. On Wednesday this past week, the good Lord decided that he wanted her in his company. So a joy that she is with him now and with her husband, but prayers for her family that they can get through this tough time. Also, another friend of mine, he lost his brother on the 9th after 2 years of fighting cancer. And now my friend has an appointment at the end of this month. They think he has prostate cancer. So if you could please have John in your prayers as well. Thank you.
Charlene Kennedy, in your prayers. That's my best friend's mother-in-law. She is close to being with God. And also Chris, my best friend, her dad is also in the hospital. So Chris and Chuck are going through a lot right now. One parent in the hospital, one parent soon going to be going to heaven. So.
Okay, Paul, keep Paul in your prayers. Joanne, hairdresser's mom's family. John, Chris's dad. Our church, our country, and our country's leaders, men and women and their families in the military, missionaries all over the world, Stewart family, flood victims, Valente family, our son Jacob, surgery on Wednesday, the ministry of the Gideons, lots of stuff. To write down here, all those who are traveling. It's a privilege to be able to intercede on the behalf of other people because we have this relationship with God the Father. He hears our prayers and he loves us. So for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. We have favor with God and man. This may be impossible for men, but with God all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You, my God, will supply all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. These words and so many more are promises that you have made to us. They are written. And we thank you for them, Lord. And we praise you. We bless your holy name. And God, we lift up into the light and love of your presence all of these names that we have made known here today. We pray, God, that you would do a mighty work, touch with a healing touch, bring comfort and peace to those who need it, give strength for this day and for the days that lie ahead, fill us with wisdom, and create within all of us a right spirit and a pure heart. Watch over and keep safe, Lord, those who are in need. Wisdom, Lord, guidance, love, healing, strength, joy. And we would be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading is from the Gospel according to John chapter 20, verses 26 through 31. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. This is the word of the Lord. 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We have with us today Dick Stewart, who is the chairman of something. I can't remember. It was too long ago, Dick. I can't remember already. Church ministry for Gideon's International. And along with him is the Bible chairman, Randy Nelson. Come on up, Randy. And Randy's got the first half of the sermon. I've got the second half of the sermon. And all I can say is buckle up.
A Bible? A Bible. I'll tell you what I'm going to do with this Bible. I'm going to rip out page by page, and I'm going to start a fire. I'm going to burn that thing. That, my friends, is what a college student named Rob said to a Gideon in New Jersey who was handing out New Testaments on campus. But you know what? I'm going to tell you what, there was a fire started all right, because that young man went home and he started reading that Bible every night. He joined a Christian group at college, a Bible class that challenged him. He started going to church and eventually met his wife at church. He now serves as the leader at Northside Methodist Church because of that Bible handed out by a Gideon on campus. What are the Gideons? We're not a cult or religion, but a ministry of God for God. Gideons are a group of Christian, professional, and businessmen with one common purpose. And that purpose is to lead others to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that? By personal witnessing, placement of the scriptures. We put the Bibles into motels, hotels, military bases, recruiting centers, places of that sort. Does this look familiar to anyone in their travels across the country or whatever? Put there by one Gideon, one hand, and one drawer at a time. Also, some Gideon wives are active in the auxiliary ministry that makes office personnel, like doctor's offices, dentist offices, makes Bibles available to them. Let me ask you this. Is the Bible important? Hosea 4:6 says, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God's not talking about college education or that. Now, that's important. That's good. But he's talking about his wisdom, his knowledge from his word. Psalms 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Saved by faith, faith by hearing the word of God. Well then, if the Bible is important, is it important to place the word of God? Psalmist declares in chapter 126, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, we're told that when the word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, God speaking says, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen. Folks, this Holy Spirit's at work through this ministry. God has given us the opportunity to personally hand out thousands upon thousands of these small Bibles we refer to as PWTs, Personal Witness Testaments. 1900 at the Christmas Parade here in downtown Irwin. Hundreds at Pitt Campus. Hundreds at Seton Hill College. We've done outreaches in Hemphill Park, Greensburg, Mount Pleasant, City of Manassas, Penn Township. Folks, we witnessed numerous salvations and miracles. Why? Are we so wonderful? No. We're just showing up and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. Just sacrificing a little speck of our time and giving it to God and letting him work through us. Mark 9:49 says, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Also, for many years, we've went to the rehearsals and graduations at the local schools, graduating classes of Belvern and Penn Trafford, South Mass, Moreland, Manassas, Jeanette, all received testaments through this Gideon ministry. Folks, you all know, sooner or later, these young adults starting out in life are going to face trials and tribulation. But through Jesus, through support of churches like yours, these kids have the opportunity to open the cover to the most important book they could ever read in their life. We give them the opportunity through you to receive the love of Jesus and through God's grace, eternal life. Thank you, Lord. We did an outreach at Taconi Fair, and local Gideons pitched in, and we paid the price to set up a table for the week of the fair. We took plenty of these little Bibles, and the Holy Spirit came with us. Folks, out of a large group of people I talked to, most all people heard of Jesus. Some people believe there might be a God. Friends, I want to tell you, there's a whole bunch of people that never heard the good news. There's a bunch of people out there that don't know the love of Jesus. There's people out there that don't know their love so much that Christ died on the cross for them. You know, then you got that group of people that just flat out deny him. Don't want nothing of them. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to even look into it. It's sad. I personally spent 2 days at the Gideon booth at the fairgrounds. The opportunities were so great to witness to people that at the end of each day, my voice was gone. I had no voice. I went home the first night, and my wife said, hey, how'd it go? And I went, oh, she says, well, I take that. It's pretty good then. I'll say this, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God used my big mouth on 18 different occasions to lead individuals to Christ. 18 different people asked God for forgiveness and invited Christ into their heart and life. Thank you, Lord. One particular time, a young lady came up to me and said, yeah, you know, I believe God's real, but I'm a lesbian and I don't hide it. And she certainly did. And I'm not making fun of her, but I wouldn't have arm wrestled with this girl. She was pretty tough, and she dressed tougher than any biker I've ever seen. But the point is, she said, I've been told I can never be a Christian or go to church. I said, well, I don't know who told you that, young lady. I says, a sin is a sin is a sin in God's eyes. He says in Romans 3:23, we all have sinned and fall short of his glory. I says, we as people are always judging the magnitude of our sins, sometimes rightfully so. I'm not going to hire someone who just got out of prison for child molestation to babysit my granddaughter. That wouldn't be too smart. But I told her, the fact is, Christ died on the cross for my sins and your sins, even though they may be totally different sins. She responded by saying, you know, I believe that, but I'm not ready to give up my lifestyle. I said, the Bible says Christ died on the cross for us while we were yet sinners. Romans 5:8. I said, take step one first. Ask for forgiveness of all your sins. Invite Christ into your heart and life. Well, when she heard that, that sealed the deal between her and God. Folks, it's the Spirit of God that changes us. It's not my job. It's not your job to change me or mine to change you. It's the Holy Spirit that changes us. We can't do it on our own. I'm so glad I didn't have to be sinless or perfect before I became a Christian or went to church. Ooh, that'd be pretty rough, wouldn't it? We'd have a lot of empty pews. But at the end of 2 days, we gave out 700 Bibles. By the end of the week, local Gideons gave out 1,700 testaments. Numerous salvations witnessed, and many prayer requests went up to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you know, friends, receiving Christ is step one. Step one. And I know I'm preaching to the choir for most of all of us here, hopefully all of us here. Truth is, there are some people in some churches every week trying to take step two, three, four, five. They've never taken step one. They're trying to change things on their own power or by a prayer someone else sends up to God. They haven't really repented of their sins or told God sorry. Confessing to God they're a sinner. Realizing the magnitude of God's righteousness. There has to be punishment for those sins. Then coming to terms and the realization of the overwhelming love that Christ has for us by taking that punishment for us, by shedding his blood on the cross because he loves us so much. Thank you, Jesus. And we invite Christ into our heart and lives. Now it's the Holy Spirit that changes us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's our flesh that tries to drag us back and drag us back into this fallen world. But it's the Spirit of God that reminds us. It's the Spirit of God that strengthens us. It's his word and his wisdom that strengthens us in this fallen world. It's him that empowers us to take step two, whether it's obvious as ridding drugs or alcohol or pornography from your life, or maybe not so obvious sin, maybe verbal abuse to your wife or your husband, anger or pride issues. The point is, once you've been delivered from step two, he's going to show you step three, step four, step five, step 1,000,036. I lost track after about a million in my life. What's important is to walk with God. Hold his hand. Let him guide you. Look, God has taken me from a sinful lifestyle. But guess what? We're all still capable of sin. It's this thing called flesh compounded by the fact we're living in a fallen world. We need the full armor of God on. We need praise and worship. We need his word and wisdom. We need fellowship with him and a relationship with him. That's the full armor. God says a righteous man's footsteps are ordered by the Lord. We can only become righteous in God's eyes by faith in him and obedience in him. It all starts with him. This Gideon ministry, it's starting with him, leading others to Jesus. A couple of us did the placement of Bibles in the motels. This isn't a glamorous job. It consists of prayer and labor. Not all motel owners and managers are willing to give you the keys to walk the rooms with you or spend the morning with you. That's why we pray. We pray and we rely on God to open doors. Let me tell you, scripture placement by Gideons takes place in 200 countries around the world and counting. And I know what you're thinking. Boy, you, Mr. Stewart, must be busy with all this stuff going on. Actually, there are 199,000 Gideons worldwide distributing God's word in 101 different languages and counting. God has called men around the world to be Gideons in countries I can't even pronounce the name of. This is how I realize God calls his servants when he wants them and where he wants them. Matthew 9:37-38 says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. If the Holy Spirit's tugging your heart, to find out more about this ministry right here in this area, see Pastor Judy, see myself, see Mr. Stewart. It's an awesome ministry. I'm involved in other ministries. This is the most awesome ministry that I could say that the Lord has ever put me in. I just love it. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to tell you a little testimony, and I'll get through this a little better than the first service, I pray. A while back, I met a man in Irwin here. We were doing business. Somehow, God got mentioned. Gideon's got mentioned. This man grabbed me by my shirt collar and said, "Listen, listen, listen." So I listened. He said, "I was young and dumb," and I'm not calling young people dumb. Some are smarter than me. But he says, "I was young and dumb. I had this girlfriend. I thought she was everything to me." He said, "I had a motel room. We were going to sin." And he says, "She dumped me just like that. Boom. Said she didn't love me no more. Had someone else." He said, "I was devastated. I thought my world was ended." He said, "I went to that room. I drank, smoked a little weed." He said, "I had my dad's pistol." He said, "I went to reach for that pistol." He said, "Dude," he said, "my hand fell on the Bible that was sitting there by the Gideons." He said, "I just pulled it up." He said, "The Holy Spirit ministered to me. And this guy's holding me by the shirt, looking me in the eye with a tear coming down his cheek. He says, "I want to tell you, I got 3 kids and I go to church and I'm active in my church because of that Bible sitting on that dresser placed by the Gideons and God's love." And when you see someone looking you in the eye like that with a tear coming down, you know how real and powerful it is. There's generations changed by one Bible, one moment, at one time. Thank you, Lord. How else can we be involved in this ministry? We have the Gideon card ministry. We got beautiful cards. You got a card rack out there. I'll explain it. You have all kind of cards. If someone loses a loved one, we got sympathy cards you can send with the purchase of Bibles. We got in honor cards, tribute cards. We got occasion cards for birthdays, anniversaries. It's on the honor system. They're beautiful cards. Check them out there. You can take a card. You want to send $1 to the Gideons, $2. You want to send $2,000? That's fine. The point is, you take a card. You don't want to send anything? Remember, God's watching you. But that's okay. The point is, we got beautiful cards to use out there. And there's Bibles purchased with that money from the cards that's gone in somebody's hand. Somebody that doesn't know Jesus. A well-known radio minister shared this story about giving. A homeless man came to town. It was very cold that weekend. He was wandering around town lost. He had nowhere to go. A lady at the red light almost stopped and gave him $10 for a meal, but the light changed. A man almost stopped and gave him directions to the shelter, but his cell phone rang and distracted that. A young person almost stopped and gave him a blanket, but thought, "Oh, that's a pretty darn nice blanket. I don't even know that guy," and drove off. That man perished that weekend because numerous people almost gave. Friends, there's people outside these walls perishing, leaving life as we know it separated from God. Yeah, we ask for your financial support. Cash or checks to Gideon's International is accepted. This, my friends, is between you and God. Let me be frank. When you give money to Gideon's, you're not giving to me. You're not giving to Dick Stewart. You're not giving to a person. You're putting God's word in the hands of the lost for God's kingdom. In closing, remember this. Through the funds you provide, we go to the prisons. We go to the campuses and schools. We go to the lost around the world. The Gideons are the extended hands to your arms. You're the arms of God's body. Together, we're the full body of Christ reaching the lost for his glory and his kingdom. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your saving grace. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and what you've shown us on the cross, Lord. You are an awesome God, and we thank you for being such a loving God, Lord. I would pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch this congregation, Lord. Continue to anoint this pastor. Father God, use everyone here, Lord, to share you, Lord, to a neighbor or whoever you see, whether it's in line at the grocery store, Lord. Lord, it's your spirit that enables us. It's your spirit that protects us, Lord. It's your spirit that guides us, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord. And I pray that you continue to bless this church. Use it in this town and surrounding areas, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you in that name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brother.
How many people here are certified in basic first aid, CPR, AEDs, automatic electronic defibrillators? That's pretty important stuff. You were told a specific way to handle a dangerous, life-threatening situation, and you have to follow those directions. Otherwise, you could have dire consequences. Doctors, first responders, military, they were given a specific set of instructions on how to react to different situations, how to behave, what to do. And they have to follow those instructions if they want to meet with success. My dad, as many of you know, was police chief of Port View for almost 30 years. And dad told me that the most volatile situation that a policeman can go into was a domestic dispute. And they were given specific training on how to handle those situations, how to defuse the situation. And he said more policemen have lost their lives in domestic disputes than in any other situation. You have to follow your training if you want to save lives. Anybody here work on a bomb squad? No? Okay. Just imagine how closely they have to follow their directions, their training. It could cost them their lives or those around them. Training, education, given directions. There are many people whose lives are in our hands, believe it or not. Friends, neighbors, co-workers, people that we deal with all the time, sales clerks, representatives, people that we contact, people who don't know Jesus. Their lives are in our hands. The fate of their souls, their eternal lives. Now, it's not us that saves them, but we are the ones who are called by God to lead them to Jesus. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's the message we've been given to share with others as ambassadors of Christ. And every one of us, no matter how young or old we are ambassadors of Christ. We represent Jesus. And every one of us were created to do these good works, to go out and save souls. We have got to get this into the hands of the whole world. Because too many people are being deceived. And they're being told that if you're a good person, that if you do a lot of good works and you help people and you feed the hungry and you clothe the naked, you'll go to heaven. They're lying to you. They are lying to you. I see it all the time on Facebook and in these TV shows and movies and stuff. You can't earn your way into heaven. There is only one way to get into heaven, and that's by believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins, who was raised from the dead. Only through faith in Jesus do we get to heaven. But as a result of our faith in Jesus, we are filled with the love of God, and then we want to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and help people and do good works. But those good works don't get us into heaven. I don't care what anybody's telling you. That's not true. Because the Word of God makes it clear. The only way we get to heaven so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and there is no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved, just that of Jesus. That's why we need to get this into the hands of other people. That's why we need to spread this word of God all over the world. And the greatest attack on our Christian faith today is people were trying to doubt the word of God. And that started with Adam and Eve. Did God really say you shouldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Is this really the word of God? It is the word of God. And we've been given an opportunity to support a ministry that spreads this gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. And according to prophecy, this is one of the last things that need to be fulfilled before the coming of our Lord. Is that the prophecy is that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be spread to the ends of the earth, and then the end would come. So, if you can help the Gideons in any way whatsoever, and it doesn't have to be today. We have the card rack in the back. You can always drop off an offering at the church. There are all kinds of ways that you can assist the Gideons. They covet your prayers. Pray for them for a successful and bold ministry, that God would raise up more people to assist them. And let's transform the world through this word of God. God loves you, and so do I. Please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 600, standing as we sing, Wonderful Words of Life. It says in 2 Romans chapter 14, that 14 verse 11, there is no 2 Romans, okay? The work of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of everything that Jesus has said and done. And if we've never read it in the first place, how can we be reminded? So we need to study the Word of God. And we need to get that word into everybody else's hands. It is life itself. And if we don't do what we've been called to do as ambassadors of Christ, people are going to die forever. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the boldness of your Holy Spirit to be upon us. We pray, Lord, that we would be filled with a hunger for your holy word, with an overwhelming desire to seek your kingdom first in every area of our lives, and fill us with the boldness to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said,
Amen. Amen.